Wednesday morning. That means it's Dean Bulldog Richie from the Daily Telegraph, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend co-host. Bulldog morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Middo. Clarkey, Laurie.
Bulldog, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Good, interesting proposal we read about this morning with the two conferences. No doubt you blokes have dissected it in depth, but certainly there's some advantages. There's some disadvantages as well.
Yeah, I'm very interested in it. I think it could work, but again, I'd be interested to see what our listeners think and a bit more detail surrounding what actually happens inside the conference system and whether there's an opportunity for two teams from the same conference to play in a grand final, or whether it's just you get the one from each conference and they end up playing in a GF. But I don't mind the thinking behind it, but I'd like to see more detail. What about your thoughts?
Yeah, I've certainly got some queries and question marks, Laurie, like all these proposals. And we should stress here, it is a proposal.
Yeah.
It's not going through. First up, the second New Zealand side, which is mooted for 2026, I would have some doubts over, given the Warriors have struggled since year dot, essentially. So whether there's scope for a second side in perhaps Wellington, I would have my doubts there. As you say, Laurie, you could have two extremely dominant sides in one conference. So it means a top team in the other conference gets a rails run into the grand final. It would mean no All-Sydney grand final, potentially. And it would mean a lot of travel, too, for those outside of Sydney, where the Sydney clubs would have very little travel most weeks.
You mentioned you're not confident with another New Zealand side. If you were to expand, obviously we're going to get another team up there in Queensland. Where would you like to see the other team come from to make it an 18-team? Would you stay up there in Queensland? Would you find another area, say a Gladstone or a Rockhampton?
Look, I think there's only really two options in my eyes. There is either New Zealand or we go to Perth. Perth does have a lot of advantages with time zones and television. But, Loz, I rack my brain. I really can't think of another area that would be capable financially of sustaining a rugby league club full-time. Adelaide Rams came in Super League. You know, they had some success. Whether Adelaide's big enough, I would doubt. Second Victorian side, no. So, look, I think it's either Perth or New Zealand. But, Auckland does have a rugby league following, but the more south you go in New Zealand, it becomes more hardcore rugby. And I just wonder whether Wellington would have the infrastructure and the support for a rugby league team.
Bulldog, I'm confused. I feel like over the last month, we've spoken about the extreme gap between the good and the bad in the NRL currently. And yet we're now sitting here talking about two new teams. So I'm confused. Is there a gap, a major gap between the good and the bad? If there is, why? I would assume straight away a big part of that is the stock. There's not enough good players in every team to make the competition as competitive as everybody would like. So if that's the case now with the amount of teams we have, what happens if we add two more teams? Doesn't the stock get worse, not better?
That's another 60 in the pool, Clarkie. Do we have another 60 players in Australia capable of playing at the elite level? That's a key question. I guess, Clarkie, they've got to add up whether the standard would drop compared to the money they may make in an improved broadcast deal. They might think, look, if we can get X amount of money more, then who cares? Having said that, if you dilute the competition too much, Clarkie, the broadcasters won't pay the money because they're getting three or four dud games every week. So it's a real balancing act. Look, the second Brisbane team will come in. There's no doubt about that, but that 18th team is still to be decided. Look, we all love Sydney derbies. I think it's a great thing. Some are already saying, though, are we going back to the old New South Wales Rugby League competition where it was all Sydney? Do you want to see outside New South Wales sides play every couple of weeks?
Would you hate to see a... would you hate to see... Well, not hate to see. Would you not... with this conference system, you've got Sydney and you've got the outer Sydney teams. So in all likelihood, there wouldn't be the opportunity to have two Sydney sides play in a grand final. So if you had Parramatta or St. George and South Sydney, say, there's no chance of them playing in a grand final. Does that rub you up the wrong way? Or do you
I just think it should be the best two teams. Look, I would prefer that option. I guess the outside Sydney clubs could say the same. Mm. You know, there could be no chance of those two getting through. I guess also, Laurie, as we discussed off air, like there are a lot of outside Sydney clubs that have strong support for former New South Wales Rugby League clubs. Like Brisbane has always had a huge following with the Dragons. The Raiders have also had always had a big following for the Rabbitohs. So they may not get to see them play.
Yeah.
And that's a concern to me because a lot of those clubs that came in the 80s and 90s, a lot of those fans had former Sydney clubs, you know, as their team that they followed. They might not get to see them now.
The one of the big ones for mine also is the fact that you might not see the best two teams play in a grand final. I don't mind the conference system, but I still think we need the opportunity if you've got, you know, two of the best sides in one conference, they still should have the opportunity to be able to play each other in a grand final.
I don't know why we need the conference system. Why can't we just expand to 18 teams if that's what they want and just have a normal draw? It won't be a fair draw. We know that. There's only way to have a fair draw is to play each other twice. And if there's 18 teams, we can't have a 34-round competition. I get that. But I just don't know why we need the conference system. What's it bringing and what are the advantages?
Mm.
And are the disadvantages outweighing the advantages?
Yeah, well, I think that's what we're about to find out. I think they're just floating that idea to see what the public's reaction is, to see what the club's thoughts are. And I can understand wanting to have more derbies because I think that rivalry is definitely there and people want to see that. But again, it then comes down to cost because when you look at one system with the Sydney teams, they just get to stay at home. You know, their travel costs are down. They don't have to pay accommodation. Whereas the teams outside of Sydney, every second week, that's exactly what they'll be doing. Does the NRL pay for all that? Or do the clubs have to find that money? So that'd put them at a disadvantage straight away financially.
All right, let's talk about the Bulldogs. We've got Trent Barrett on this morning, in fact. Looking forward to chatting to him in about 20-odd minutes' time. But they've signed Brent Naden. So a 2-year deal it is. So he's rejected the Tigers. Another player seemingly rejecting the Tigers and Parramatta as well, Bulldog. This is your story.
Yeah, you know, it hasn't been done just yet. Let me stress that. The deal, as I understand, will be done unless there's a last-minute hitch. But I'm sure Trent will probably say, look, the deal hasn't been done as well. He's very close to Brent Naden. They formed a strong bond at Penrith. The Panthers wanted to retain Brent Naden, but they just simply didn't have the salary cap room. Parramatta joined in late and the West Tigers were there. At the moment, with all due respect to the West Tigers, as a manager, you would be reluctant to send any player there unless there was some good coin to be made. So it looks like he will go to the Bulldogs, as you say, Mido, on a 2-year deal. That does give the Bulldogs a fairly handy backline next year, which would be Flanagan, Burton, Kotrick, Naden, Addo-Carr and Corey Allen. With maybe a Will Hopewade on the wing or a Dallin Watini Selesniak. So suddenly, the Bulldogs have a back line that they can salivate over. And look, you know, Trent Barrett, things aren't going great this year. Had their first win only last weekend. But you just get the feeling that of all the clubs struggling, the Bulldogs will be the one to emerge.
Mm. And I think they're patient. And I think that's the key. They're going to follow this plan through. And a lot of their signings are younger players, not that sort of mature player or that older player. They've got plenty of growth left in a lot of those players that they're signing. What about all this drama surrounding the West Tigers, Bulldog? What are you hearing?
Yeah, Laurie, it could get ugly here. Look, I spoke to Lee Hagamed-Tellis. That's the West Tigers chairman yesterday. I wrote a story about it in the Daily Telegraph that he's saying, and quite rightly, that they are open for criticism, like every club. And they are attracting plenty of criticism, and deservedly so. They are a very poor football side at the moment. However, Hagamed-Tellis did say he's over the private and personal individual criticism, and he is saying, if you want to bag us, that's fine, but just don't make it personal. And even to the point where he is the principal at Bryden's Lawyers, he wasn't threatening legal action, so to speak, but he was saying, if anyone does overstep the mark, well, then we will have a look at it legally. I don't know whether that's the right path to go down, but having said that, he's very determined to protect his club, and a lot of those criticisms out there are getting very personal, and he wants to pull it in very, very quickly.
Bulldog, you've been around for such a long time in the media. What does a club or an individual player do in this situation to actually please the media or please the journalist or please the fans? Like, I understand the I've been hard on the Tigers, and I love them. I'm loyal to the bone, and I'll always support them. But I've been hard because they've been horrible for a long time, and not just the fact they're losing, but how they're losing. But what's the solution? What do we want them to do? Okay.
That's it, Clarkie.
Okay, let's say you don't get there.
And that's not me being a smart aleck, but that's it.
Even the board members, the CEO, the senior players, but what are they meant to do now until they get that winning formula and build that consistency? What are they meant to do to please everyone? Do they come out and, yep, we're accountable. Yep, we're not playing well. Yes, we've got some issues. Yes, we're trying to get better. And the media leaves them alone? No way. It seems like we as fans and the media, and I sit on both sides now, we're going to keep talking about them until they win. But what else can they do? Like, can someone give them a solution? Because we're all here to criticise, but it seems like no one is here to give them a solution.
Where is that solution, Clarkie? I don't think they even know, to be honest with you. The board's doing their best.
So is it go hard until people are sacked?
Quote Lee Hagapintelis, their chairman, "We're just going to keep working hard." It's an old cliche, but in this case, it's all they can do. You can't keep sacking coaches, Clarkie.
Yeah. I agree 100%.
And the players are on long-term deals.
Agree.
The front office is doing what they feel is best. The board's copying a hammering, which is fair, but even they are volunteers, so to speak. They don't get paid. So everyone at the moment is trying to protect each other out there at Concord. But until they win and then the caravan moves on to the next team, which is losing. It's just the nature of the beast in terms of league, winning, losing, and rugby league. But look, until they have a win,
hold on for dear life.
It's going to keep going. And that's just the way it is.
If they were here in Sydney, the Brisbane Broncos would be copying it. Because
I'm sure they are in Brisbane.
They are one of the glamour clubs of the competition. They look as though they're all in for Mitch Moses. Is that the case?
I think you're right, Laurie. Look, Parramatta's first offer was for 1 year for Moses, for 2023. But it now looks like the new offer will be till the end of 2024. He has an option for next year to activate by round 10. So what's that in another 2 weeks? I think he will activate that. So he'll be there next year. But the Broncos will have big money. They've lost Dearden. They're obviously not happy with Croft. Milford's back this week, but he's playing down in the Q Cup. So there's a spot there for an elite halfback. And Moses was linked to the Broncos 3 or 4 years ago, so it's not the first time they've gone after him. So, look, I think you'll find that they'll come in hard for Moses. But the other option is Sean Johnson. There's a suggestion that they may go hard for Sean Johnson. But clearly they've got money. Mm-hmm. Clearly they've got room for a halfback, and they need a halfback. Who is it? I guess only Kevvy Walters knows.
Yeah, well, you've got to be careful when you're paying $1 million a season to a player. You've got to make sure you attract the right one and the player that can deliver you a competition. That's what you have to weigh up.
With Sean Johnson too, Loz, there's a suggestion that, you know, he would be happy to leave Sydney. He's not a Sydney boy, where others that they're looking at maybe. Look, I know Buzz came on the show, I think on Monday, and said the Sharks were hoping for a Johnson-Adam Reynolds scrum base for next year. So, look, Johnson will have some options. But the suggestion that I'm getting is that if he's going to go anywhere, it will be the Brisbane Broncos.
Well, say if... So this is where Brisbane will get themselves in trouble, because they might panic and think they're going to miss out. And all of a sudden you've got two guys there in Johnson and Moses, and they might pay big overs to get one of them to their organisation. And if they do that, that could be football suicide, because you could leave your salary cap in a dreadful place. So you've got to be prepared to offer the player what you think is fair and reasonable, and what is the mark, not the market value, but what is their value. You don't want to be caught up in this fight where you're scrambling for players and you pay overs. That might work out. But if the player doesn't deliver you the expectation of $1.2 million performance every week, and the criticism then starts to come on him, and it affects his performance, and then it affects the club. So they're in a spot of bother at the moment, the Broncos.
This is what happens, though, when you're losing, Laurie. You do panic. And they can come out all they want and say, we're not about to panic, and we're staying controlled, and we've got plans, and we know exactly where we're going. They don't know where they're going. All clubs that are on their knees are like that. And they need a kill. Mm. They need a kill to get the fans off their back, and the board needs a kill so that They get the members off their back.
They can't pay overs.
You're right, Laurie. You've got to hold your nerve. But there's no long-term planning when you're getting whacked every week. It's now. It's here and now, this weekend and next year. You don't have that luxury of saying, oh, we've got some runs on the board here. Mm. We can take our time. Boards get very, very twitchy. Mm.
Just notice there's a fake Buzz Rothfield Twitter account going around claiming that Adam Reynolds has signed a three-year deal with the Broncos. Not true. It's a fake account. Fake
sure.
account. Fake.
Maybe that might have been the same place I found that Cameron Smith was coming to the Tigers.
Not a bad way to get out of getting a story wrong, though, is it? Oh, fake account.
By the way, one of our listeners has found a footy card of Loz. This is from back in 1996. Have a go, Loz. Here you are, just sitting down in your New South Wales tracksuit in 96.
Yeah.
And on the back of the card, there's a little questionnaire.
Yeah.
What do we got?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Marital status, lives with girlfriend. Occupation, professional footballer. Nickname, Lozza. Favourite movie, A Few Good Men. Is that true?
Good flick. Good flick.
Yeah, good flick. Good flick. Very, very good
Favourite
flick.
Favourite
food. Is it his New South Wales tracksuit there, Middo?
Yeah.
He used to say to me, he used to go, he say, hate being noticed, hate being recognised. Then you'd see him in a nightclub with his jumper on.
That used to be
still
the
guy. Still wearing his jersey.
Favorite, with the captain on the back.
Name and number on the back.
Favourite food, baked dinner.
Ooh, how good's a baked dinner?
Baked dinner, beautiful.
Yeah, it's a good call. Gravy, you like gravy?
Oh, I love gravy.
Yeah, I'm gravy man too.
Favourite music, most music.
What about when my mother used to make the gravy and it was all in the baking tray, the baking dish, you know, when they'd cook all the...
All the fat at the bottom.
Yeah, the fat, air and meat. Oh, that was perfect gravy.
Do you reckon your sisters wouldn't have got much tucker when you were growing up?
It was eat or don't eat.
It's getting early.
All in. Felt like Newtown Manly in 81.
Mate, my fork used to stab their hands.
Interests outside rugby league, horse racing, golf, cricket, tennis, and relaxing.
Yeah, I don't know why I put golf.
How come it hasn't got ironing with a long neck? Why does it not say ironing with a long neck?
I only line with a long neck every so often. Mate, I don't do it every week.
Now I just picture every weekend when I'm going to, you know, have a few drinks with the boys, all I think of, Loz is in his backyard, got the ironing board out, long neck, still in a brown paper bag, and having a wowver time with country music.
Can you imagine the creases by the third long neck?
Seriously. Can you imagine him ironing?
You know the big ironing imprints on shirts?
when a phone call comes, then I forget the irons on the shirt.
Robbo, morning to you, mate.
Good morning, Laurie. Your favourite movie was Dumb and Dumber. Don't give us that.
Well, I love Dumb and Dumber.
And don't worry, I know your sisters, beating him. You would never have stabbed him in the hand. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have. That'd be too tough on me.
Oh, mate, you reckon you got bashed up in football? Now, listen, I'm just getting a bit worried about all these head bin charged off. I think we're slipping back to a period in the 70s where players were taking players out of the game. Now, you know, intentionally, what I'd like to see is if a player, like let's use the Tedesco incident on the weekend. Now, he was taken out with foul play. Now, that bloke got 10 minutes in the bin, but Teddy couldn't come back on the field. What I'm suggesting is if the player cannot come back on the field and the guy has 10 minutes in the bin, well, that 10-minute player then is out for the rest of the game to start with. They can replace him off the bench. I just don't think it's fair that a good player gets taken out of the game, one team is penalised, and the other player gets to come back on the field.
Yeah, Robert, it's a long-standing debate as to whether the culprit should be out for the same amount of time as the injured player. Look, Pereira got a suspension. I think it was 3 or 4 weeks. You said before you're worried about it being intentional like the old days. I don't think there's any intentional foul play in the game. Look, it happens. It's the breakneck speed of the game. It's the physicality. But I don't think these days, Laurie, any team or any player goes out to intentionally hurt a rival.
No, not intentionally. But it does happen where you get the odd occasion where someone oversteps the mark and they're quite aggressive and, you know.
I don't mind that, though. I'm not going to sit here and bag that. I mean, I'm not suggesting foul plays.
No, it's not. It's not. But I think there's a lot of things that need to be looked at. And one thing I got out of listening to Graham Annesley the other day was if you start to make contact with head the head now of an opponent, then you'll find yourself on the sideline. So my only concern with that, Bulldog, is that I hope that we still know that accidents can happen in the game and we don't overreact and then start all of a sudden to send people from the field for those accidental contacts of the head.
Bulldog, great to have you in, mate.
Thank you for having me once again.